All right, amen. Guys, this is normally the part of the program that I tell you to open up your Bibles a certain place and we jump into the text. We're going to do a little church business first, okay? So as you know, last Sunday was our last Sunday with our executive pastor, John Patterson. And many of you have been asking, man, what's going on? What's next? What are we going to do? And I said, hey, man, there is a plan. We want to share that plan with you. And so I want to just take a few minutes this morning and talk to you about what is coming up for our church family. And so I don't know, how many of you are planners out there? Any planners out there you guys like to plan? My wife has always been the planner, except when it comes to church stuff. And then, man, I work through plan A and plan B and plan C. How many of you, God has shown up in the midst of your plans and proven that he's got better plans? Anybody? Yep. So our goal, when somebody says, Pastor, what's the plan? Our plan is to try to follow the Lord's leading and to do what we feel like he's calling us to do. And God's made a few things very clear to us. One of the things that God made clear to us when John was still here was you know, back in February, we were talking about all the demands of the job of an executive pastor in the stage that we're in, life stage we're in a church. And one of those was that, man, we really had a heart. We needed to grow discipleship, but he just had so many administrative duties. It really, it was challenging. And so, you know, when the Lord opened a door, John, by the way, started talking to me in February. That's when I started praying with him about God providing a spot for them. We began praying that God would provide for this place, and specifically he was praying God would provide for me, for his brother in Christ, and I was praying that God would provide for him, and the Lord opened up a door for him very quickly. And so in March, this church in City View reached out to John, and we're just going, okay, Lord, what's next? So I'm a church planner, y'all. I feel so. I had plan A and plan B and plan C. We could do it this way, or we could do this, or we could do that. And in the midst of all that, I got a welcome card. You know, I get them every Monday, and one of the welcome cards said, hey, we want to join the church. My name's Kevin. My wife's name's Kathy. We want to join the church, but before we do, I'd like to speak with you. And I was like, okay. And so reach out, and we do some email. It takes a little while, about a week, to get together. Kevin comes in on a Wednesday night, and he says, well, I want to talk to you because, man, I'd really like to join the church, but we moved from California, live in McDade, and I'm a church planter. And that makes some pastors uncomfortable. You know, we build relationships, and we may go build a church. And I was like, okay, cool, man. It doesn't make me nervous at all. Big kingdom. I would love to have you guys. And you know, we kind of start talking. I said, you know, so we get in the heart of it. I said, so are you sure that God wants you to plant a church in McDade? And he said, well, yeah, I don't know. We just know that's what we were doing in California. And you know, I've been on staff in other places. I was a discipleship pastor in New Mexico at a church, 1,200, 1,400. And we just began to talk. We spent about a little over an hour together that first time. And I just began praying. Now, John's in my ear going, do you think God could just make it this easy? Do you think God could just, like I'm leaving, he just, do you think God makes things, do you think that could happen? I said, I don't know, man. And so I remember then I reached back out to Kevin. I said, man, I'd like to kind of continue to talk. And we'd been texting back and forth. So we met at Starbucks. I think Amelia picked up my breakfast even. What? Thanks, Amelia. Yeah. So you're a part of this story, girl. Look how the Lord's using you. And so we sat for about an hour and a half and questions about the gospel and his heart for ministry. And you know, and God had already kind of made clear we needed to shift some things around here and really put all of our eggs into discipleship for 24-25. And we want to start some new ministries even this fall. We want to start a men's ministry and a women's ministry and see those things really succeed. And so began talking. And again, God is just going, you know, I'm going, Lord, red flags, please give me red flags. Say no, do something. And God did nothing. And so then I reach out to our deacon officers. That's kind of how I pastor. Then those guys steer our deacon group. And so said, hey, guys, I'm kind of feeling like maybe this is the Lord, but I want you to pray for discernment with me. And then those guys, now listen, started talking to this guy in March, y'all, because what I'm about to say, you're going to go, that's fast. It's not fast. We started in March, and we want to kick off new things in August, September. You guys follow me? So not a lot of time. And so like, okay. And so deacon officers meet with Kevin and grilled him. I mean, like, woo, theological bomb. Boom, entered this, entered that. And it was so good. And we walked out, and everybody's going like, man, one of the guys actually said, so our deacon officers, by the way, we have Brian Shaw, we have Eric Middall, and we have Jeff Carter. three amazing men. And so they met, we had lunch, and they left, and one of them said, "So when can he start?" Was the end of the conversation. And then said, "Well, you know," then we brought Kevin before the deacon body. And so we just did that last week, and we had a great time. The deacon sat with Kevin for almost 2 hours, asked every question you could imagine, and just began to talk and dream. And at this point, we feel led to bring Kevin before you. That's how Baptist churches work. So next Sunday, that's quick. Quick because we feel like this is the Lord's leading. Next Sunday, and we're going to bring Kevin, old-fashioned school Baptist. This is, you know, we're Baptist governed, so you guys vote on it. And so we're going to bring Kevin in what old-fashioned we call in view of a call. Kevin is going to preach in both services. I'll do a little introduction for him. And then Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we want everybody to come back and bring some finger foods. We're going to have a good old-fashioned Baptist potluck. And Kevin and Kathy are going to give their testimony. And then we're going to have a Q&A where you guys can ask him questions. Now, I want to be very clear. The job that we would be hiring Kevin for, that the church would be voting on, is not the job of executive pastor. It is the job of discipleship pastor. That was a huge part of John's role here. Now, you may say, what about the rest of it? I'll talk about the rest of it later. We've actually got some other things that we're going to shake up in staff, and we feel like some people, God's revealed to us their giftings, and we want to actually bless them and promote them, and we're going to talk about those things later. But right now, the biggest thing for our church, guys, as we move forward 24-25, is we need more learn opportunities. We need you guys to find community, biblical community, so that you can grow in the Lord. So here's the deal. I'm not having Kevin wave this morning. I'm not having him stand up this morning. I'm just going to say he's been here every Sunday since March. And today, when church is over, I'm going to let you mill around and meet some people and just say, "Hey, my name is such and such." And we'll see if you happen to stumble upon Kevin and Kathy. Monday or Tuesday, we'll shoot out an email. We've got a whole PDF for you guys. It's got their pictures. You know, it's got all their background information, what they've done in ministry, and just to give you as much information possible about them before next Sunday. Does that make sense, y'all? All right, cool. Isn't it cool when God just provides stuff and you don't, like for me, God, guys, I can be a little bit of a control freak, and God's like, "Hey, dude, I'm God. You're just Jason." And I was like, "Okay, that's how this works." So pretty cool. We felt like God's in this whole process and cannot wait to share the rest of the details with you, okay? All right, cool. Everybody good there? All right, awesome. And I still have time left to preach. Let's do it. If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in the 23rd Psalm. And we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, okay? 23rd Psalm and Galatians chapter 5. We are continuing our series called Abide. And really, two foundational verses, Jesus and John 15, saying, "I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing," right? And then, of course, Galatians 5, where Paul tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, that we won't gratify the cravings of the flesh. And he lists all those cravings. We're actually going to read that text this morning. But he says, but if we'll abide, if we'll walk in the Spirit, then we'll have all this fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. And this morning, we are going to talk about the spiritual fruit of goodness. All right, so pray with me, and as we're done praying, I'm going to put this on the screen. You need sermon notes. If you didn't grab a bulletin, scan that sucker, and I'm going to pray that we're going to jump into the text together. Father, you are so good to us. You're so good to us. We sang about it this morning. We're going to preach about it now. Holy Spirit, we want to invite you in. You are the teacher of our church. Come and lead and guide us and teach us and direct us, God, that we might be changed from the inside out, Holy Spirit, through what you show us this morning. Jesus, we love you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So guys, we're going to talk about goodness. There's three things I want to share with you, and we're just going to start out of the gate. Anybody else need to scan sermon notes? Are you guys good? All right. If you've got them, let's go. Three things I want to share with you this morning. Here is the first, guys. I want you to know that God is not only good in a general sense. God's not only good in a general sense, he is good to us, right? He is good to us. God is not only good in a general sense, but he is good to us. And the Bible is clear on this. I mean, it's clear in its declaration, y'all, God is good, right? God is good. King David writes in Psalm 25:8, he says, "The Lord is good and upright, therefore he shows sinners the way." In Psalm 34:8, David again writes, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." And then in Psalm 100, an unknown author writes this about God. He says, "For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations." Author after author, page after page, we read that God is indeed good. But this morning, and this is key, I want you to understand it's not just that God is good. The Bible actually openly declares page after page, not just that God is good, but rather that God is good to us, right? That's different. That's something we have to take hold of. Not just that God is good, but that God is good to us, that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He pursues us, that He redeems us, that He forgives us, right? God is good to us. And I think one of the best illustrations of this, just penned out, written, is the 23rd Psalm. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn there with me. I want you to be thinking of the goodness of God as we read what David pens about how God has taken care of him. He calls God his shepherd. I'm in Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His namesake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And then David writes this in verse 6. "Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David's writing about God's tender care for him. David's saying, "I've never felt alone." David's saying, "There's always been a hand that's guiding. There's always been a hand that's protecting. There's always been a provider for me." And he's going, "God, that's You." Now, David's a shepherd, so this is important for him. This is tender for him. He knows how well he has loved and cared for sheep in his life. And the best example of care, the best example of goodness that he could think of is the fact that that's how God has treated him. God has been good to him in spite of him. God has led him and protected him and brought him rest and restored his soul. Anybody ever had God restore your soul? It's a sweet moment, isn't it? When God refreshes your spirit, it's not about anything we've done. It's just about how good God is. And that's what David is writing in the book of Lamentations. By the way, Lamentations is a tough book to read, all right? Lamentations is this like passionate, poetic book where these people, like Jeremiah, is expressing grief and sorrow for Israel's demise, for being taken captive by Babylon. It's this period where there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope, but in the midst of all that grief and sorrow, listen to what Jeremiah the prophet pens about the goodness of God. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. The Lord is good to the person that seeks Him." Y'all, David, Jeremiah, I mean, just every page of Scripture, it is not just that God is good. And we say that all the time. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. No, it's not just that God is good. He said, God is good to us. He cares for us. He guides us. He provides for us. He protects us. He restores us. He forgives us. God is good to us. Isn't that good? Second thing I want to share with you this morning is that as people who have experienced the goodness of God firsthand, we are expected to be good to others. As people that have experienced the goodness of God firsthand, we are expected to be good to others. So here's our verse, Galatians 5, right? I want to look at the word. We're going to talk about the word and its original language in the Greek. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. That word in the New Testament in the original language speaks of a virtue of being upright in heart and in life. Being upright in heart and in life. In other words, like you're like, Pastor, how would you describe it? I would say it's having a good heart, right? Which is hard because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all else and beyond cure. It's about having a good heart, having a good life, wanting good for others, right? One of this word's definitions is if you were to look it up, literally look up the word, go to Strong's Concordance, it's going to say one of the definitions for goodness is beneficence. Right? You're like, that's helpful. If you Google beneficence, what comes up is doctors. Just throw it in there. Ask Siri about it. If you were to look up beneficence, the word beneficence, that word is always attached to physicians. And it has to do with an ethical demand, an ethical responsibility upon people in the medical field, upon doctors. They are ethically responsible to do good for their patients. They're ethically bound to do right by their patients, to do good by their patients. Now, if we were to extrapolate that, we would say that those of us who have experienced the goodness of God in Christ Jesus are then morally and ethically bound to treat others the way that Jesus has treated us. Amen? If you've experienced the goodness of God, if you've been forgiven, the Bible is very clear, then you are called to be good to others. And I just think that's a reminder that we need in our world today where we have more opportunities to rant than ever before. Right? Think with me just for a second. Not you guys. You guys are killing it. So not you guys, but those other Christians in our world. Think about some of the things that they either say, it comes flying out of their mouth in a random conversation because they've been watching too much Fox News or Newsmax or CNN, whatever. Things that come flying out of their mouth about, I don't know, people. It's all people related, like pop stars. You heard somebody say something ugly about Taylor Swift lately? Bet you have. Or if they didn't say it, they posted it, right? Because that's an easy way to not actually have to say it with other people around, so we just post it. Oh, or how about a politician? Those are people too. I know we think that they're soulless, but they have souls made in the image of God, right? Maybe they spoke about a politician. I was thinking, I don't know, maybe you've heard somebody talk about, oh, this is a tough one, you know, like new neighbors in a growing, changing community. And all the changes that that requires and the way that life used to be. Maybe you've heard somebody say something or post something not nice about that. Maybe you've heard it about you know, the homelessness that we see around in Austin. And I love you guys. If you want to set me off, talk about homeless people in front of me. Right? Say one of those dumb things that Christians say. Right? Well, I've heard that those people make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Really? That's why they have one pair of clothes. Right? Or, well, if I gave them money, they're just going to spend it on alcohol or drugs. Well, guess what? I'm just going to be honest with you. Here's an open, honest thing. Like I ain't Job. I think God knows that, so he's protected me, right? Because if I lost my job and my house and my car and my family, I bet I'd be drinking a little more too. So I'm just saying, Christians, in love, we say some dumb things. And we treat people in some ungodly ways. And we just speak it like it's just life and it's our right. And then we have Jesus, who we're supposed to be following. This is fruit of His Spirit. And He is good. And I just say to you, Christian, in love, did you ever see Jesus treat anyone that way? Except for the religious people that thought they were doing it right. No. No. One of the keys to the gospel spreading as fast as it spread early on, and it was like wildfire after Jesus' death, was the fact that the people of God were good. Not that they were just morally upright. They were, they were sinners saved by grace, but they were caring for people. They put their own lives on the line for other people. The gospel is about people, y'all. And if you think it's about your comfort, or you think it's about your privilege, or you think, like, love God with all your heart and love people. That's the heart of the gospel message. And if we want to be followers of Jesus, then we have to be good like Jesus. We have to be people of good heart. But it's not just having a good heart for people. The word does hold with it some morality. I get some of you are like, so does morality not matter, Pastor? No, it carries that weight too of upright living in Galatians 5. You want to know just the context of our verse of 22, starts in 16. Paul says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you certainly won't carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what's against the Spirit. The Spirit desires what's against the flesh. They're opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. This is non-spiritual stuff, right? Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, anything similar. That's fleshly stuff. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and kindness and self-control. So the goodness of God isn't ignoring sin, but it's also not condemning people. You guys follow me? The goodness of God is loving people, pointing them to God, right? Say, man, God loves you. Listen, I've said this for a long time. This is my testimony. God loves you enough to meet you where you are. If we don't preach this, man, we don't get the gospel. God loves people enough to meet them where they are, but he loves them too much to leave them there. That's the tension of the gospel. And if we're not those people, if we're not willing to meet people where they are in their sin, in their messiness, and love them the way that Jesus loved us, and we don't leave them there. We're called to make disciples, so we got to teach them about God. We got to teach them how to have a relationship with God. But we have, part of that is getting them to believe that God loves them, right? It's easy to believe that God loves you on this side of the tracks, y'all. It's a lot harder on that side. Okay? So we got to be good. It's expected of us. Last thing I would share with you is this, that there is no true good in us except Jesus. There is no true good in us except Jesus. This is the heart of the gospel, right? The Apostle Paul, Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one, right? Speaking of his own personal life, I love you guys. I don't know what we've done with the Bible. We've elevated people places they shouldn't be. I love some of you guys. You're so pro Paul that sometimes you don't interpret Paul through Jesus. I love you. We can correct that. All things go through Jesus. But listen, I get, like, Peter's like one of my superheroes. So we'll exalt Paul. We'll exalt Peter. But listen, Paul struggled. And listen to Paul. This is his confession about this battle within himself in Romans 7:18 and 19. He says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me." That's the Apostle Paul, brother. That is Paul who started church. We're here because of the work of Paul starting churches, right? This is the guy. This guy wrote half of the New Testament. And this is what he says. He says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it." He says, "I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I don't want to do." And what Paul is saying is, I need Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. I need Jesus. I'm not exactly sure what we've formed and fashioned Christianity to, but I fear that we've made it very much like what the Pharisees were comfortable with, where it's a bunch of lists and rituals, and you do that, and then you do this, and you feel better about yourself. And yet, like, here's Jesus going, "I'm right here. just want to be here with you. I want to hang out with you. I will change you. Me in you. That's the hope of glory. Just rest and abide in me. That's what the whole series is about. Y'all, without Jesus, we can do what? Nothing. No good in us apart from Jesus. So let me ask you a question. How many of you were brutally honest? We're going to be brutally honest today because I want you to see you're not alone. So I'm going to ask for a little bravery. How many of you would confess, based on what you've just heard, say, I haven't exactly been very good to others? Just, okay. So look around. That's a lot of folks. It's a lot of folks. That's saying we need this spiritual fruit. So what do we do? All right, number one. Number one, make sure you're a believer. Y'all, you can't be good without Jesus. Can't happen. Can't happen. Like all the people, well, I'm a pretty good person. No, you are not. I love you. You're not good, right? All the people tell me, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm like, well, so let's talk about that, right? Have you ever told a lie? Well, of course everybody tells lies, so you're a liar. I'm like, that's pretty high on the list, right? So, well, okay, you're a liar, okay. And then I talk to especially guys, I'm like, yeah, they're like, well, I'm good, you know, I've been married, I love my kids. I'm like, hey, have you ever looked at another woman and had lustful thoughts? And I'm like, well, yeah. Well, Jesus called that adultery. So you're a lying adulterer, right? I've never killed anybody. That's the bar. It's a pretty sad bar. Boy, you're so good. You didn't want to go to jail. Right? And you'd be honest with them and say, but have you ever hated anybody? And they're like, yeah, I've hated people. Well, Jesus says that's the same thing as murder. So you're a liar, you're an adulterer, and you're a murderer. How good are you? And they're like, I don't like this game. I said, well, that's just the Ten Commandments, right? If we wanted some measure of good. So listen, I'm just saying, y'all, we're lying to ourselves if we think that we're good people. The Bible is very clear. No good lives in us. And if you're here today and you're going, but I want that, the only way to have it is through Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me. He tells Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I want you to have eternal life. That's what Nicodemus came asking about. But the only way you can have it, Nick, is if you're born of the Spirit of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's the Galatians 5:16 stuff we talked about. Right? Sexual immorality and adultery and arguing and drunkenness. And, I mean, all that stuff. That flesh gives birth to that stuff. Dissension and hate. Only the Spirit can give birth to the spiritual. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The good news is He's for you, y'all. The Bible says that anyone who believes in Him can become a child of God. Everyone who calls on His name will be saved. So that's huge news. That's huge news. So receive Jesus as Lord. You can do that through a simple prayer today. In a moment we'll pray. Have a moment where you can just make this very simple prayer. Jesus, I want to be saved. And come into my life. Forgive me my sin. Change me. He will answer that prayer 100%. Second thing I would share with you guys, it's been the same thing every week, is examine your life. Christians, if you raised your hand earlier and said, I'm just being honest, I'm not very good. I've got work to do. That's the Holy Spirit going, you've got work to do. If you're not a good person towards people, that's a problem because you are God's chosen method for the gospel to be delivered. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and that hearing comes like from words that come out of your mouth, and the only way that people listen to those words coming out of your mouth is if you're loving them through your actions. That makes sense. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So examination. I think goodness for me, patience is always like pretty obvious. Like, okay, not walking in the Spirit. But if I'm just not good to people, man, the Holy Spirit's just turning those screws going, dude, you've got a problem. You are not abiding in Jesus like you need. That is not how Jesus would have treated those people. And I'm just like crushed. All right? So it's for examination. Last thing, guys, is I want to challenge you. Stop aiming for better. Stop it. Stuff of the flesh is always going to be of the flesh. Stop trying little self-improve. Like, abide in Jesus. That's the answer. There is no goodness in me. And all my little tricks and programs and things that I want to do, like, the ultimate answer is if I am walking in the Spirit of God, I'm a good person. It's the only good in me. That's the only true love in me. That's the only true ounce of patience in me, is when I'm abiding in Christ. He is the only good anything in me. Any thought, any desire, any action, any word is Jesus. And that's the answer. And you guys are like, Pastor, I just feel like this is oversimplified. Read the Bible. You can do nothing without me. Jesus calls us continually to himself because he is the answer. This morning, I just have one last question. Will you surrender to the call? He's calling you to come and spend time. He's calling you to abide. This week, will you do it? Would you guys pray with me? Father, thanks for loving us. Thanks for allowing us to gather. You're so good and kind. Lord, I pray this morning that something in what we've heard would prick our hearts and stir our affections and make us think differently. That it would lead us, we talked about repentance last week, that it would lead us to want to change, not to be better, but to be good, to make you our aim, to turn to you. May we stop trying all the worldly things and start leaning into the spiritual things. Jesus, change us from the inside out, please, please, please. For everyone here that doesn't have a relationship with you yet and they would like to, I pray right now they would just cry out in this simple prayer, Jesus, come into my life and make me yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.